With your Bible, you know the book of Acts is a history of the early church, God's working, and the early church coming together, and it was an amazing thing. And why did God record all that? Well, isn't it for our benefit throughout the years, not just a history, but something to look at and to apply in, they were an example, were to apply, and that's what I want to look at. And I don't know if we're going to finish this today, but if not, we'll finish it next Sunday. But church growth, and that's what we're going to look at. You're ready at Acts chapter 2. Let me read this first before we read the scripture. I think I've shared this with you before, but one Sunday morning, the pastor encouraged his congregation to consider the potential of the church. Vision. He told them, with God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking. And the people responded, oh, let the church walk, Pastor. Let the church walk. Aren't you excited? He continued, when the church begins to walk, next the church can begin to run. And the people shouted, let the church run, Pastor. Let the church run. Aren't you getting excited now? The pastor continued, and finally the church can move from running to flying. Oh, the church can fly. But of course, that's going to take lots of money for that to happen. And the congregation grew quiet. And from the back, someone mumbled, let the church crawl, Pastor. Let the church crawl. How's that? God uses money. That's where he acquires his tithe and his and love offerings. But that's not what makes the church grow. It's just part and parcel. And in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at some things of that early church. And I think as we apply into our church, I think God will bless us and cause us to grow as well. And just because a church has 5,000 as compared to a church with 10, there is no church greater than the other in the eyes of God. It's what the church is doing. What the church's relationship with their God is that matters. The relationship with one another and the relationship with those outside. And so we see a lot of these things in Acts chapter 2. And so let's start at verse 41 and we'll read to the end, 47. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word. That's talking about people that got saved. What happened? Well, they were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them. Added unto who? Who's them? That early church. That first church. Added unto them. See, baptism is a public expression of an inward change. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism is simply the picture of when you got saved. When a person is placed down in the water, they are in effect in a public pictorial expression, declaring to everybody, I believe Jesus died for me, I believe he was buried for me, and I believe he was raised again, he'd give me eternal life. Baptism, identifying publicly with Christ. And all these people were getting baptized that day. They already got saved. And then they were added to the church. So just as your true salvation, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, entered you into the family of God. You're heaven bound. The picture of your salvation, baptism, enters you into the picture of the family of God. The local church is that picture of the whole universal family of God. See? They become members. So they were added to that church, added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'd say that's a pretty good day. I mean, at some point, I'm thinking, don't you have to change the water? They didn't use a baptistry. They're at either the river or the lake, you say. One after another. Can you imagine? I remember in Sierra Leone, the first time that we went, pastor asked me to baptize. And I said, because there's a number of churches that have come together. Back, there was, I think, seven churches at the time. Now there's 20. But they all had people to be baptized. And if the pastors, I said, would grant me the authority, I'd be happy and pleased to. I didn't know there would be 84 of them. 84. I developed a bruise on my knee. You're standing outside the baptistry. I developed a knot on my knee. It welted, became big, bright red. I thought I got bit by a spider. But it was a good pain. 84, they were lined up. They'd come to Christ. Because God sent a man, the man said, I'll go. He's in his 70s. He's still over there. Missionaries, they're extremely special people. Amen. Again, pray for Bill Flowers. Pray for him. So, added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a day. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It's a happy thing when you're in the will of God, doing God's service. I tell you, you'd be hard-pressed during vacation Bible school to find somebody who wasn't smiling. And the kids, they were delighted. I mean, it was epic? It was just awesome. Gladness and singleness of heart. 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. What a wonderful thing. People getting saved left and right. I remember I used the term before regarding when I was, before I got saved with Patty's family, they're all getting saved. And I used the term, they were dropping like flies. Because somebody got saved, really? Yeah, somebody else got saved. Somebody got saved, you know. It was a wonderful thing, but not from my perspective. I knew there was something going on, but I didn't have a full grip on it yet. And dropping like flies. So look at this. This early church, this was an exciting time. So a key phrase in verse 47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily. Who added to the church? God does. God adds to the church. But I want you to take your focus to the first word of that phrase, and the Lord added to the church. So something else going on here. There's something in play, and the Lord added to the church. I think here we see some sort of prerequisites of the church that caused God, that moved God to add to the church. And the Lord added to the church. This word indicates that the fact that the Lord was adding to the church, that did not stand alone, that the events or actions of the previous verses were part and parcel to the results. The point being, the preceding actions mentioned of the believers moved God to add to the church. They were active. It was an active church. They don't all just stand around, sing kumbaya, and God added to the church. There's nothing wrong with standing around singing kumbaya and praise the Lord and all that. There is nothing wrong. Listen, the kids were singing over there. It's great. And, you know, that's a 37.5-foot peak in that gym. So the sound is awesome when you had a bunch of kids. And even the adults were singing pretty loudly, too. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. Truly, the Lord did the saving and adding. However, would he have saved and added to the church had not the church been active? That's the question. And again, as I said before, God records this for every generation, for every church, for every generation, for us. Is there something here that we can follow that'll help us? Wouldn't we do well to follow the lead of these early believers? And in so doing, could we not have the same expectations? You know, Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. In other words, read the book, take notice of the book. Apply the book, follow the book. So as a church, I thought we'd review some of these things that we see in this latter part of Acts 2 regarding church history. One point that I would notice right off the bat in verse 32. They continued in the book. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They're being taught. And the apostles, led of the Holy Spirit of God, were teaching and preaching. And by the way, they only had the Old Testament at that time. and he would teach and preach and preach of them unto them Christ. Just like the Philip did in Acts chapter 7 with the Ethiopian eunuch, chapter 8. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the scriptures, in the book. And he's in Isaiah chapter 53, and it talked about being despised and smitten of God. And it was a picture, a prophecy of Jesus Christ going to the cross. And the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, who's this talking about? And he began at that point, the Bible says, to preach unto him Jesus. See, that Old Testament, everything's in there, points to Christ. It's not locked in itself, separate and independent. It has purpose. And always points to Christ. But you got to be in the book. So we preach the Bible here. We teach the Bible here, you see. You may have heard of other churches, or maybe on a vacation, you find yourself at some place, and you go because it's a church, and you find out that, listen, there's not a whole lot of places that teach the Bible. By the way, this Bible, the Word of God, and teach it and preach it. There's a lot of social type thing. We ought to do good to our brothers and people and help the poor. That's all true. It's all in there. But this idea of being saved by faith and faith alone, through Christ, placing your faith in Jesus Christ on the cross, else there is no salvation. This idea of just do good, be kind, be loving, like that's going to get you to heaven, it's a lie. We need the doctrine of the Word of God. And these apostles, they preached the doctrine. And notice, they continued steadfastly in it. So you know what that tells you and I? Individually, keep your nose in the book. Keep reading. Get in the house of God. Be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Bible, that it might affect us and change us and make us effective. They continued in the book. Now let's look at run some verses here. Acts 17, talking about the book, the Bible. The KJV, the King James volume version, that's in your hands. That's the book. Notice in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now here, in Acts chapter 17, talk about Paul, and he's going from church to church, place to place, starting churches, leading people to Christ. And here, noted by Luke, that to Paul, there was noting that these here, they were listeners. And not so much in Thessalonica. And they left that city, they were driven out, and they come down here to Berea, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You know how you're supposed to come to the house of God? With readiness of mind to listen, to hear. Yes, it's great to see one another, smile at one another, encourage one another, shake each other's hand, and it's wonderful. Fellowship is a big part of assembling ourselves together. But we should be coming for something here, to come through here, and here, you know, with our eyes looking at the book and hearing teaching and preaching and not just passively listening, but letting it, absorbing it and making application. What are you saying to me, God? What do you want me to do? Remember when Paul got saved? What wilt thou have me to do? There's a submission there, surrender there. And that comes about by the Word of God. It came to Paul in Acts chapter 9, and Jesus spoke to him. That's the Word of God. It was verbal. We have the written Word of God. Both same power, both with the same desire behind it. God, Jesus got Paul's attention, and this is what I want you to do. And that's what he does through the written Word, Holy Spirit being our help and our guide. They continued in the book. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We want the hand of God on us. And yes, we do want to grow. We want to reach more people. We want to reach families. This is all true. But to be a good church, a solid church, you got to be in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look with me at verse 13. Paul says to young Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." It's all about the book, isn't it? Reading the book, preaching the book, and the doctrine of the book. God bless the early church. So if we'll stick to the book, preach the book, teach the book, and then personally be in the book daily. They search the scriptures daily, you see. God will have an impact on you. And God will change you, make you more like Jesus. He'll bless our church. He'll bless your life. Can't do that outside of the Word of God. Look, if you would, at verses 15 and 16. He says to young Timothy, meditate. Well, you know what? That takes time. Meditate is not reading a chapter and checking it off. You can read a chapter. And by the way, I'd rather have you read a chapter than read 10 chapters and not remember what you read. But you read one chapter, and you think about it, and you meditate upon it. And you say, "Lord, what would thou have me to do as a result of this?" Meditate. That takes time. Diligence. They search the scriptures daily, this early church. So it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. There's surrender. That's submission to God and His will. That thy profiting may appear to all. Thy profiting. You profit from the Word of God. You grow. No Bible, no grow. Remember in 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babes in Christ. Get in there. Read something. Think about it. Let God do something to you and through you. Verse 16. And you'll profit, by the way, and people will see a change in you. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now, he's talking to who? Timothy. It's an individual. Okay? So, yes, this applies to the church. Spiritually, the application can be made in to every group. But he's talking specifically to an individual. God is talking to you and I specifically as an individual. Take heed unto thyself. Not about him and her and them and all the others. Gee, I hope they're getting this. How about I hope I'm getting this? Unto thy, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The Word of God, the source of salvation and growth. No Bible, no growth. 2 Timothy 2:15. But a good bunch of you could quote this one. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So whose approval are you seeking? Okay? So it's not, well, I read 10 chapters. Are we seeking the approval of others? We're seeking the approval of God. And you know, often I've done this little illustration. No Bible, no hearing from God, no hearing from heaven. In essence, you're doing this. La, 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 I know you're talking, God. Talking to me, but I'm not listening. That's what we're doing if we're not reading our Bibles. No Bible, no change, no growth. Study, he says. That's work. Approved unto God. Please Him with your Bible reading. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So, I mean, God acknowledges that this work involved takes time to read and meditate. You got to set it apart. You got to turn down the TV, see? Turn it off at times. Set your phone down. Stop browsing. Hours on end. Be in the Bible. rightly dividing the word of truth. God's instruction, chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. What great, great verses these are. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This entire book, God saw to it that you and I would have it today, all these good many years later from when they were written. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's that word again. That others may see the profiting in the other verse. This one here, that it is profitable. Profit doesn't mean, it's not limited though. We often think of it in terms of money. Did you make a profit? No. It's any benefit. And the book says here that you can. There's great benefit if this book is in my head and heart. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These are all the areas where it can help you, where you can profit by God's design. That the man of God, and may I say that's generic, it could be the woman of God, the child of God, okay, it's talking about all man, the man of God may be perfect. That's not talking about sinless perfection, but it's talking about reaching a level of maturity. Complete. That comes from the Bible. Head, heart, the Bible. You know, I saw Lord Carter the other day, and I can't help but think, you know, she's in a memory care facility, and she remembers a lot more long-term than short-term things, but if you remembered her, she taught Sunday school 40, 50 years. And she taught those kids so that they would get something. We got some of you teachers here. Years and years. Sandra Rennie, years and years. She's teaching right now, Sunday school. She taught Vacation Bible School. And Laura Carver, each Sunday evening, before service, we'd have a teacher's meeting. And we were using flannel graph, Child Evangelism Fellowship back then. And the stories, you know, the big flannel. And then you had these little figures with flannel back, then they'd stick to the thing, and they'd create a scene, a beautiful scene. You tell a Bible story to kids, and you add this person and this and that. Then you take that flannel. Oh, it's a whole other background scene. She would help us to make them, and we would cut out all the figures from these books. And then Sunday night, she would go through the lesson and teach the lesson as if she was teaching the kids. She was helping us, giving us insight. I mean, she was saturated with the Word of God. She helped us. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so all Scripture is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished for all good works, so that you can do what God wants you to do. No Bible, you know, God wants to use every single one of us. But we're limiting God when we're not in the Bible. But when you're in the Bible, you are usable because your head's in the game, your heart's in the game, and God is maturing you and I. How wonderful it is. This is all the Word of God. They continued in the book, this early church. It made a great difference. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice with me the last few verses here, beginning at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now, he's talking about the written word of God as opposed to early on, the apostles, the Bible said, did signs and wonders, right? God will use great miracles to confirm what was being said, what was being preached, what was being shared, you see. But at the completion of the word of God, it's no longer a need for the signs and whatnot. You have the completed word of God. And so he said, this is more sure word. See? A more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. You do well if you take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know, you got to have a light to see, to understand, to see as God sees. It's bright out there, and you go out and you see people. You see people differently. You see through the eyes of God. Patty's looking at something in the closet last night. She couldn't see. I gave her my light. I don't know how many thousand lumens, but she put that on. Let me tell you, she could see. Not while it was in her eyes. But that closet lit up. This book is light. It gives light so that we can see. And anyhow, it says this. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is any private interpretation. And that's the first thing somebody will tell you. Yeah, but man, that was written by men. And you tell them the Bible. It's true. Believe it. It's God's word to man. That was written by men. Well, yes, God used some 40 different men over the course of some 1,600 years. And it isn't amazing that all those different men, from a doctor like Luke all the way to ignorant fishermen and all the different people that he used over all those centuries, and it all matches and converges. Wow. Just happened. Coincidence? No. It's the word of God. Knowing this first, no prophecy. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now there is a statement there that declares where your Bible came from. God, and he used men. He inspired men to pen down the words you and I need to hear throughout all cultures and all generations. I don't care where you are in the globe. This book, these words came from God to them and to us. Thank God for it. There's power in the book. And this church continued steadfastly each day. One more. Joshua chapter 1. I remember here in Joshua 1, we begin following Joshua because Moses now has left the scene. Moses has died. God's taken him home. And Moses, that great leader of God, whom Joshua followed loyally, faithfully. Now Joshua's at the top. A little intimidating. And by the way, all of Israel didn't look into Joshua like he is that guy. But God's encouraging Joshua. I'll be with you. I will bless you. In fact, let's see. Verse 6. Notice it says here. Be strong. I'm in Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give it. Only be thou strong. Verse 7 says it again. And very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua, you're going to need me. You're going to need to listen to me. I will guide you. I will direct you. I will encourage you. I will strengthen you. And I will reprove you as you need it. But you got to be in the book. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So the implication here is, you're not in the book, you're not going to do all I want you to do. Same applies to you and me. Read a little, usable a little. Read a lot, meditate a lot, praise God a lot, usable a lot. You're going to lead the nation of Israel in Moses' stead. Intimidating. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Look, verse 2. Back to verse 2. Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, unto the children. Every place that a soul... verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What comforting words from God. These same words are in the book for you. He's with you too. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. What a wonderful promise. I don't have to live my life alone. Do what God wants me to do alone. He's always with me. He's always with you. Strengthening you, encouraging you, guiding you, loving you like a father, like no other father could ever. It's got to be the Bible. The Barna Report, 1994 to 95. So this is way back. Percentage of American households with a Bible, 92%. I bet that's dropped considerably. Right? 94, 95. And back at that time, the percentage of Americans who read the Bible, Americans who read the Bible outside religious services. You can't count the religious services, okay, for your personal Bible reading. 37%. So 92% of the homes had a Bible. That, to me, is pretty encouraging back then. Of course, that's changed considerably, no doubt about it. But I'll bet this one has too, who read outside services. I wonder, even in our own church, I trust that every home owns a Bible. I'd say 99%, if not 100%. How many read the Bible outside of church services? I wonder what the percentage is. And yet we're guided by the scriptures in Acts chapter 2 that this early church, they continued steadfastly in the Word of God. The Bible's everything, guys. The Bible. God blesses His Word. James Hewitt said this, how much time does it take to read the Bible? Genesis to Revelation. If you would read the Bible at a standard pulpit speed, which is slow enough to be heard and understood, the reading time would be 71 hours. It would, if you would break that down into minutes and divide in 365 days, you could read the entire Bible, cover to cover, in only 12 minutes a day. Is this really too much time to spend reading about God? So you figure, if you have this regular regimen of 12 minutes to read the Bible, and that aside, you would read whatever, reread, study, meditate. It could change your life, revolutionize your life. And would not the hand of God be upon you, your family, your church? We're all doing that. Search the scriptures daily. Let it be said, the Grace Baptist Church continues steadfastly in the Word of God. Amen. Number two, Acts 2. Wow. Point number one took a long time. Let's see if we can do point number two. They continued in fellowship. Look, if you would, at verse... We're going to look at 42 and 44. And they continued steadfastly, Acts 2, verse 42, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Is that important? And look at 44. And all that believed were together. Fellowship, being together, that matters. It's such an encouragement. You can talk to anybody who doesn't have opportunity to be in church how it can be discouraging. We're thankful for technology today. People can watch, you know, online. And they can see the back of your heads. But they can hear teaching, preaching, the singing. They can see people as they interact. It's encouraging. It's great. It's good. If you can't be here. But there's nothing like being here. By God's plan, we encourage one another. It's important. You know, you have no idea how important the extending of your hand and a smile, how encouraging that can be to somebody who they have a smile on their face, but they are hurting inside. Hurting emotionally, hurting physically. Every Sunday I shake Cliff's hand, I say, how you doing? Wonderful. His key word is fantastic. It's unbelievable. I said, I don't believe you. He's always hurting. He's always smiling. He has impact on others. We all have impact. Fellowship is important. You know, Vacation Bible School had a purpose, several purposes. One, of course, is outreach. Try to reach the community, get some kids, some families in, get people saved, change their lives. It's important. Do you know there's other things that it does? It caused us to be in fellowship. Outside the norm. It was wonderful. It was encouraging. Tiring. Not that you tired me, but you're tired because every night you're doing something, energy with others, working side by side. It's awesome. All these various teams we list on that little sheet of paper back there. It's not a one-man show by any stretch, never was. It's just so wonderful. All these people saying, I'll do it, I'll help, I'll this. And they all do their jobs, and the kids thought they're kings and queens. And we were encouraged. We received the blessing, not just the children. Fellowship matters. Greeting one another, asking how you're doing, and remembering their name, what they said last time, what they're going through, matters. Matters to you and I. Fellowship. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They continued steadfastly in fellowship. It's important. Be at the house of God. When the doors swing open, be here. Fellowship. It's been said that it are fellows, and that's generic again, all men and women, in the same ship, together, headed in the same direction, working together to arrive at the same destination, all on the same page. Fellowship. We're all fellows in the same ship. We're all headed in the same direction. Should be. See? That's all the time we got. Well, we'll work on this next week. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what you've given in here for us individually, as families, and as a church family. Help us to be all we should be and do all we should do for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.